Hello, and welcome to my reviews of every James Bond movie in many words. This title might be confusing to some of you because you might notice that I did not make a 10 words or less review of the James Bond franchise. This is because starting last year in 2019 in spring, I started watching some of the James Bond movies for fun, for the possibility of doing a marathon. Stopped for Epithet Erased, started again in winter, and then I was planning to have a video come out maybe in April when No Time to Die came out, but COVID moved that back to November, and it's been so long that I'm gonna be real, I don't think I can give a good review of these movies without, without flat out just rewatching some of them, which I'm not gonna do. So whether or not I do end up making this video proper, I thought it would be better as entertainment for you or just for my own sake to kind of get my remembrance of these movies recorded somewhere. I have some notes on a Google Doc, but like, how long is that gonna work, you know? So I'm just gonna go about this. Same rules as per usual. I'm going to go through each movie and talk about it to my heart's content and what I remember of it, say the good things and the bad things, try to explain my score. This time around, I'll also say the score, though fair warning, 90% of the Bond catalog is between 3 and 7. There's not a lot of huge winners or huge losers in this department. So, guess I'll go for it. Oh, and as per usual, each movie will be separated by a double snap, so it's kind of a weak snap. I'm wearing arm braces right now because my wrists are in pain, because of course they are. Still haven't fully recovered from Epithet, but this is how I take a day off. So, first of all, Dr. No. Dr. No is one of my favorite Bond movies, actually. I think it's one of the better ones. It's before a lot of the Bond-isms were kind of established, so there's like only one or two quips. They're actually good. The villain's not that cartoonish. It's not especially sexist or racist. This is a Sean Connery movie. I gave this one a 7. This doesn't quite feel like a Bond movie. It's not really a spy film. It's more like a detective piece. It feels very much like it was based on a detective book. And it was. And I think that's good. Bond is introduced as a cool dude, and even, like, what, 50, how many years has it been? 60 years later. This movie is, like, 60 years old. That's crazy. Even 60 years later, this guy is still, like, his introduction's still pretty cool. It holds up surprisingly well, which not all of these did. Especially Goldfinger, in my opinion. The plot, I'll go over the plot a little too, because that'll help me remember. The plot of this one is there is a crazy nuclear scientist guy, and this is Cold War era, and he is working in a secret lab on an abandoned island in the Caribbean, and Bond is sent there to track him down and stop him after one of their agents is murdered. So it is very much detective work, and it's not a lot of gadgets, but it's like just cool little moments, like here's how Bond noticed someone tampered with his hotel room and here's what he does about it. And I think that's fun to watch. This movie suffers from being too long, which almost universally every film on this list is too long. You could have easily cut out about 20 minutes of bullshit. I think the first half of this film is excellent. And then the second half turns into a slog because they go to the island and then it turns into like a breaking into the island kind of like it's less detective and more actiony, and the action's kind of bad. It also starts a trend I don't care for, which is James Bond meets a friendly helper who is a cool dude and almost unanimously the best character in every movie they are in, and then kills them off unceremoniously as though I didn't like them. That happens pretty much every time. So yeah, that's pretty stock standard. So that's a 7. It's a good time. From Russia with Love. Also a Sean Connery movie. Gave this one a 6. Has a lot of the same good parts. Kind of detective-y. This one is about the evil bad guy team sends a assassin to go and kill James Bond, it's not as cool because there's a lot of times that Bond is about to get shot or murdered. And like part of their plan is they're like setting up a fake exchange with one of their agents in Bond. And the idea is they're going to ruin it halfway through to make him look like an idiot as punishment for killing their agent in the last movie. And to do that, they need to make sure Bond gets to a certain point alive, which means that the bad guy, whose name I don't remember, I'm just going to call him James Blonde because he's a Blonde secret agent. Blonde is following Bond the entire movie. That won't get confusing at all. And he's like shooting people who are about to kill him. And there's a lot of times where you're like, wow, Bond would just be dead if that guy weren't looking after him. And it kind of like makes him lamer. But the first half of the movie, again, is better. It's set in Turkey. There's a cool assistant dude. It's pleasant. And then the second half of the movie is more action-y and it doesn't work. And once again, the cool Turkish friend that James Bond makes gets killed unceremoniously and it sucks. So it's basically kind of the same, but a little worse. Villain, it's an interesting setup, though. I kind of like how low-key and petty the plot is. Goldfinger. I don't know how to rate Goldfinger because Goldfinger is the movie that kind of codifies what James Bond is now known for. It has this crazy foreign villain. He's got odd job as a henchman who's like a mute Korean dude with an evil slicey bowler hat. And it's like, oh, he's got the silly minion. He has a death laser. This is the movie where Bond gets tied to a table and he's about to be bisected by a laser. This has the "Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die" line. Like, there's a lot going on here. The problem is, James Bond is, again, not a very good secret agent in this movie because he spends the entire movie getting captured and fucked over and basically delaying his own execution because Goldfinger's a weirdo. And in the crux of the movie, also the Bond girl's name is Pussy Galore, which I don't know how they okayed that in the 60s, but I don't know how fair it is to factor this in, but a lot of the bad guys in the original James Bond books are some flavor of LGBT because, oh, it's evil to be gay in the 60s or whatever. So, you know, it's heavily implied that the mastermind villain in From Russia with Love she's a lesbian, like she's flirting with all the other girl characters. It's like, whoa, that's risque in this year of 1964 or whatever. And in the original book of this, Pussy Galore, appropriate to her name, is a lesbian who is in charge of some kind of like flying circus act or something, and she basically gets roped into Goldfinger's plan for no real reason. But she's kind of she's like his left-hand lady, whereas Oddjob is the right-hand man. And in the book, James Bond basically fucks her. I'm pretty sure that wasn't consensual. And he fucks her so good that he fucks the lesbian out of her, which is not great. And then in the movie, she is very not into him and is trying to, like, holding him at gunpoint, and he basically throws her down in a barn in some hay and forces himself on her in a scene that was, like, so uncomfortable for me the first time around, given modern sensibilities. It honestly kind of ruined the movie for me. And, like, Goldfinger was my favorite when I was a kid. This is the one my dad always watched. Oh, the soundtrack's really good, too. Oftentimes, the soundtrack is basically just a remix of, like, the one main theme, but in this one, it's got this whole... it's got a whole score, and it's all good. And then Pussy Galore is the one who saves the day. Like, the problem with Goldfinger is that Bond sucks. And the whole movie around him is good. But, you know, Bond goes to fight Oddjob, and Oddjob's awesome. And he kills Oddjob in this, like, pussy-ass, lame, unsatisfying way. And, like, the reason that a bunch of people don't die and Goldfinger's plan fails is that Pussy Galore pulls a bait-and-switch with the U.S. military. Bond has nothing to do with that at all. I guess he fucks her and is like, "I've learned that this plan is actually going to kill a million people, and you didn't know that. Are you still okay with it?" And she's like, "No. How about we have sex?" "No, I really am not interested." "Oh, well. Uncomfortable."
Sean Connery.
And, yeah. So there's a lot of fun in that movie. If you could find, like, a Thunderball without James Bond talking in it cut, that would be my recommendation to watch. That would be fun. You Only Live to... Oh. You Only Live to... No, that's the fifth one. Thunderball, which is 5 out of 10. Thunderball is the first movie I would say is more bad than it is good. The right-hand man of evil organization Spectre is stealing a nuke from a downed airplane that crashed in the ocean. And people need to find that airplane and get it with a submarine or something. This is the first of many James Bond movies where they attempt to do underwater sequences, which they never figure out in 50, 60 years of movie making. Thunderball is almost entirely underwater fight sequences, which are slow and underwater. And oh my god, it is just as bloated as a corpse that was also underwater for 2 hours might be. God, I don't remember anything cool about Thunderball, frankly. I've written some notes here, and it just says underwater fight sequences are not fun, and this whole plot is very stupid. Also, I will say, if you are familiar with some of the late game James Bonds, and you like those, it might be very hard to go back to the old Sean Connery ones, because there's some cool shit about them, but they're very slow and very mellow and low-key by comparison. Which is not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes noise and explosions and action sequences are worse. But Thunderball is just bad. You Only Live Twice. 4 out of 10. Quote, extremely stupid and not in a fun way. Pretty racist. This one is like the racist Bond movie. This is the one where they're like, James Bond fake died. We need to hide him in Japan. So they're like, can you look like a Japanese person? And they like spray tan his skin a little darker and give him this ugly bowl cut. And he's like, ni hao, I'm a Japanese person. And they're like, that's not right, Sean Connery, but I guess we're going for it. And they do. And it's bad. It's exactly as bad as you'd think. Also quite sexist. They're all a little sexist. This movie really amps that up. By, like, using the excuse of, like, in Japan, the man is in charge. It's like, it's the 1960s. Pretty much everywhere the man is in charge. But, yeah. So, the plot of this movie is that Bond fakes his own death so that he can look into the leader of Spectre, who are the bad guys. And Spectre has, like, a nuke or something in a secret volcano base. Very James Bondy at this point. But it's very dumb also because it's just like anyone who knows anything about this base was killed in its operation. It's very, very secret. And then on like immediately after that, it'll be like, how did you find the island base, Bond?
Well, I tailed their boat going to the base in a helicopter.
And you weren't seen?
Apparently not.
Then later it's just like, there's nothing here but the basin of a volcano. And then, like, they fly a helicopter into the volcano because it, like, has an opening, closing basin. You get, like, secret agent shit. And, like, if you're going to spend billions of dollars to hide a volcano base, are you really going to blow it on flying a helicopter in there? Like, it's fine if some... James Bond is tricky to enjoy because you got to find the right mix of, like, actually cool and, like, stupid but funny to watch. And... If it's very fun and stupid, the movies are very fun. But when it's, like, trying to be kind of serious and, like, totally missing the mark, it's just weird. It's this uncanny valley that ruins the whole thing. On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Sean Connery steps out for this one. They get a guy named George Lazenby. It's a different flavor. Again, it's very secret agent. Bond is disguised as a different man for most of the movie, which is kind of interesting. He's sort of Clark Kenting around. It's fun to watch because that's something you don't normally think of with James Bond because he's more of a run and gun kind of secret agent. But it's cool to see him doing the like actual espionage part. But the plot's dumb. Blofeld's back with a different actor for stupid reasons. And the plot is like we've got these 5 or 6 girls who are hypnotized through our weird ski resort hypnosis yoga classes, And when we send them back home to their different countries, they'll be our secret agents and they can carry out orders from us on the down low when they hear their trigger phrases, which isn't like a terrible plot, but there's something very dumb and like very self-indulgent about the plot, because it's not just like, here's these pretty girls and we're gonna send them out there. It's like, here's these pretty girls that all live in this kind of like pillow fighty, pajama-y commune, and James Bond is gonna come in and be their like new psychiatrist in the secret organization's whatever. Like, it feels very like, I'm a creator in the 60s and I'm a little horny. Here's my fantasy, kind of. I don't know. The worst part of that movie, there's two worst parts. One is, this is the first movie with snowy ski chase sequences, which again are never done good and are in like 9 of these movies. So if you do what I did and watch them all in a row, you get real sick of seeing the fucking Alps over and over again, because there's not much you can do in a ski chase. And there are, I want to say, like 35 minutes of ski chases in this movie that maybe could have been 10 minutes on the long side. And by that point, you check out. And Bond actually marries the Bond girl in this movie. And they're like, well, it's lovely to have a wedding. Off we go, driving. And like some dude who is not the main villain, some mook at the end of the movie, just pulls up, lowers their window and shoots Bond's wife and kills her and then drives away. And George Lazenby as James Bond like cradles her in her arms and has this like, totally no music, played totally serious, like, I love you forevermore, my wife, and this darkness will pursue me for the rest of my days. Kisses her on the forehead, and it's so wrong. It's like, I think they did that, and then afterwards we're like, all right, that is not what James Bond is about. He would not respond that way. What the fuck is this? The better James Bonds are the ones where he's like, kind of being a robot-y, borderline sociopathic, I am a human tool of the British government. Because, like, I never liked James Bond, frankly. It's very different, like, very rarely do I go, you know what, I like this character. It happens maybe 3 times in the whole franchise. Not even for the whole movie, just 3 isolated incidents. And if I'm not gonna like him, because he's either too racist or too creepy or whatever, then, or too quippy, then I would at least like to think, yeah, this guy is a good secret agent, and often you do not think that. That's actually my bigger problem with the ongoing Sean Connery movies, is he's such a good agent in Dr. No, and he gets, like, progressively dumber as it goes, and I don't like that, personally. Next one, Diamonds Are Forever. I love Diamonds Are Forever. They brought back Sean Connery because everyone hated George Lazenby, including every single person who worked with him. And they were like, Sean Connery, will you do our stupid spy movie? And he was like, yes, I will. Give me $100 bajillion and I'll do one more. And he's like clearly too old for it by this point. But like, Diamonds Are Forever is one of my favorite Bond movies because it's so fast paced and so dumb. And they visit enough locations. Like, it's a good mix of, like, actually very cool, harrowing spy shit and the dumbest shit you've ever seen. So, at one point, Bond is like, I need to meet Willard White, who is, like, the bad guy of this movie. So, he has to get up to the penthouse of this, like, Las Vegas casino, and there's only one way up, and it's, like, on the elevator, and even that doesn't get you to the secret penthouse. So he rides the elevator up and then scales the outside of the building and he almost dies. And it's very, very cool. And he gets to the main room and Blofeld is there. And he's just like, hello, I'm Blofeld. I don't know why I sound like Sean Connery or Jello's terrible Sean Connery impression. But he's just like, that's right, Bond, it's me and I'm back and I've got body doubles now and I've been pretending to be Willard White. And it's like, weird, and that sounds dumb out of context, but it's, like, kind of a cool reveal, and it works, and it's like, oh, new information, and, like, it's dumb, but in-universe, they take it seriously, and that somehow makes it work. But then in the same movie, there's a sequence where they're, like, going through some secret government facility where they make shit, and Bond is sneaking through, and at one point he is figured out, and he gets chased through a bunch of facilities, and they're like faking the moon landing in one of the rooms for some reason. And these two astronauts in astronaut suits are like fake slow motion walking. And Bond steals the moon rover and drives away. And someone goes, "After them!" And the astronauts slowly turn and in slow motion continue slow-mo spacewalking after him. And it's so funny and so stupid. But like, it's got this great balance of both. Like, if you... if you want, like, a dumb, fun Bond movie, then you want to watch Diamonds Are Forever. I like it a lot. I think Goldfinger's a little too rapey and Bond's a little too incompetent. But that's just me. Live and Let Die. Ooh, a negative 6 out of 10. Some of the best henchmen and aesthetics in the series, a really fun, dumb movie that is absolutely tanked by a 35-minute long boat chase. Right. This movie is about Bond going up against a two-faced man who is both a drug kingpin in New York and a like cult voodoo leader using that as a front to make cocaine or some drug. Heroin maybe? Yeah, I think it's poppy fields, so heroin. Opium? Is it opium? Poppies make so many drugs, dude. They're real. I think it's opium. Opium. But, I can't do that anymore because now it's Roger Moore for a couple movies. And Roger Moore is known as a very silly James Bond. He was too old to play James Bond when he got the role because he was famous for playing a character named The Saint, who is basically a different James Bond in a British book series that my dad used to like. But this movie has a lot of really cool aesthetics and locations. There's shit like, there's these dudes walking down a street and it's this big Louisiana funeral procession with all the works. And this guy goes, "Oh, whose funeral is it?" And one of the pallbearers goes, "Yours," and shoots him. And then they like scoop that guy's body up into the coffin and walk away with it. And it's just like, yes, this is the kind of dumb shit I love. Cause it's like stupid, but it's cartoony in like a fun way. This one has not one but three of my favorite James Bond henchmen. It's got he's got a name. He's got like a claw hand, and he tries to feed Bond to alligators. I like that guy. He's got Baron Samedi, who is amazing and like low key actually magic and maybe actually real Baron Samedi and not working for the main bad guy. He just is fucking around, which is so fun. I live for that shit. And then there's this random cab driver and he captures Bond like three times and I kind of adore him. He might be my favorite dark horse minion in the whole series. And this movie was one of my favorites, but it has this horrendous boat chase sequence that is like, it's like a terrible short film all in itself, smack dab in the middle. If you're watching this, straight up, like, watch this movie, see there is a boat chase and go, nope, and forward until the end of the boat chase, and it will be like a 2 out of 10 points better movie. It's so bad. That boat chase also introduces Sheriff J.W. Pepper, who's this like cartoonish hick gross motherfucker who chases James Bond like he's fucking Detective Zenigata for at least one movie. And then I guess he was so popular for some reason that the unwashed masses were like, yeah, bring that character back. Of all the characters that were in this movie, bring fucking Sheriff J.W. Pepper back. So he's recurring. Yeah, but he's fucking terrible. Then what's next? The Man with the Golden Gun. I don't remember this movie, but I gave it a 7 out of 10, and it's possible that's because I thought Christopher Lee was a very good villain as Scaramanga, and I like Nick Knack, his henchman. I think they were both good. It's also a small scale conflict. It's just James Bond avenging another 00 agent's death against this weird assassin guy. And it's him tracking him down and then him confronting him. And it's a solid movie. I don't remember very much about it. I remember that the almost every James Bond movie ends with, like, now we get to fuck James, and M will call on the phone and be like, James, I'm here with the President of the United States. He'd like to personally thank you. Let's put James on the phone. And the President's just like, hello, Mr. Bond. And then you can hear through the phone just sounds of fucking. He's like, what's going on over there? And then Bond will say some horrible pun. It'll be like, it sounds like there's some horseplay happening over there. And I'm about to win the race. Goodbye. Or like something. I don't know. It was pretty shit, but that's better than half the James Bond quips. And this movie has my only end joke that I actually like, which is Bond and the Bond girl, whose name is Miss Goodnight, are going away on a boat and they're about to have sex. And M is trying to call to them from like across the room on a phone. He's just like, 007, 007, good night. 007, good night. Good night. And he just leans over, good night, sir, and turns off the phone, which is kind of charming. Oh, I haven't mentioned him, but Q is the best character in James Bond. He's just a ratty ancient man who despises James Bond more than anyone on Earth. And he's just like, shut the fuck up, 007. I'm going to describe this to you. Use it and don't break it. And then Bond breaks it. And then Q shows up in the next movie. He's like, God damn it, 007. So Q is pretty fantastic. Sometimes he gets to be a party member, pretty rarely. That's fun. Okay, what's next? The Spy Who Loved Me, 4 out of 10. This is a super bland movie about James Bond and a Russian spy who is a pretty lady, so you can assume what happens between them. And it's entirely boring, except Jaws, who is a big guy with metal teeth. He's a kind of a charismatic, weird henchman. He's one of the most famous ones in the series. He's in this movie. I'm going to say 2 out of those 4 points come from him significantly. My note for this is, Jaws may be pretty strong, but he can only carry this movie so far on his own. Moonraker is the next one. Moonraker is about a crazy, like, eugenicist scientist dude who wants to take a bunch of sexy people, build a new society on the moon, and blow up Earth so that he can, like, have a race of superhumans. It's very silly. Jaws comes back in this movie. He got hired again. And I don't remember very much about this. I'm pretty sure it was bad and confusing, though, but like kind of hysterical in like a negative enjoyment way. Not like a, this is silly, cartoony fun. It's just like, no, this is just bad, but I can laugh at it. For Your Eyes Only. What is this one? This one was kind of a good popcorn movie. Good use of sets and locations. Surprisingly good minions for how down to earth they were. I actually don't know which movie this is. I keep bumping the microphone. I apologize. Your Eyes Only. What is this movie? Which one is this? What? Oh, yeah, at the beginning of this movie, they just randomly kill off Blofeld again, because they're just like, yeah, whatever, let's get rid of him, which I don't understand. Just trying to skim through this. Oh, okay, this one. This one is weirdly down to earth. That's probably why I don't remember it that well. Like, all the villains are just guys, and all the henchmen are just dudes, but they're not bad. This one also feels more like a book than a movie, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's not bad. I'm surprised I gave this a 7, but I guess I did. So if for some reason you want to watch a James Bond movie, and for some reason you want to watch a Roger Moore one, but you don't want it to be dumb and silly, then I guess watch For Your Eyes Only. Octopussy, which is the real name of the movie and a character in it. 6 out of 10. Too long as per usual. A good bad guy plot, and I liked most of the cast. Editing was weak and 40 minutes too long, but I enjoy... Oh, okay. I enjoyed nonsense moments, such as the clown! The opening sequence of this movie is a spy dressed as a clown being pursued lethally through a forest. And he gets shot to death, and his clown, he like just barely manages to make it to the British embassy dressed as a clown to deliver something before dying. And it's pretty great. There are some really fun moments in this movie. The ending is also very silly. It's probably what I think a lot of Bond connoisseurs would think is the lowest moment of the series, which is Roger Moore, who has got to be, I kept describing him as an old oak tree because he's so old and sad looking by this point that I kept making a joke where in like all the Sean Connery movies, he can't stop fucking every woman he sees. But then like there's way less of that in the Roger Moore movies, which might be why I like them a little better on average. So I made this joke where I was just like, okay, listen, I'll do your movie, but I'm not going to have on-screen sex with Roger Moore. And there was always one per movie, but it kind of got less and less screen time as it went on. So we had a joke, an ongoing joke with my friends who were watching these with me. It was just like, oh yeah, the amount of prerequisite Roger Moore Bond sex time decreases significantly every film because he has the face of an old tree. Yeah, but him dressed as a clown. I'm gonna make that the preview image for this audio because I think it's funny. Yeah, but apparently that was pretty fun. I remember the assistant being really good in that movie too. Like the cool friend who gets killed off for no reason, he was good. A View to a Kill, contender for the worst movie in the franchise. This is the last Roger Moore movie, and this one makes no fucking sense. The plot... Okay, this is Christopher Walken is the bad guy, and he is just insane. His plan is... He makes microchips. He's got this beautiful new plan to make microchips, and he's gonna make a bazillion dollars as Christopher Walken. But the problem is, you see, Silicon Valley is his main competitor, so he plans to destroy Silicon Valley by opening a mine underneath the valley and blowing it up and then filling it with water from an underground lake or something. And then, like, the whole ending sequence is him, like, killing all of his own men for some reason. Like, there's any way he could cover this up? Like, an operation that will literally shape the topography of, like, the arguably the most important tech location in the world at that time. And it's just, it's all silly and like in a dumb, the writer didn't think about this way, not in a dumb funeral procession, secret murder kind of way. Would not recommend this movie. Very stupid, very unsatisfying. The Bond girl was really bad. Oh, and Mayday is the, she's like the weird Bond evil henchman in this. She might be my least favorite. I hate Mayday. I don't get what her deal was. The Living Daylights. This is a Timothy Dalton movie. I don't hear a lot about Timothy Dalton, which kind of bums me out, because actually he has the highest average I like your movies rating. Like if I take their Bond movies and like merge them together, their averages are like a 5 or a 6. Even Daniel Craig, who two of his movies I like a lot. But Timothy Dalton has a 7 and an 8 here, and that's it. So he had two good ones. The Living Daylights, which is a spy movie. Like, not like a silly, it's not a James Bond movie, it's a spy movie. Which is cool. It's very serious, kind of grounded, we're done with the Roger Moore bullshit movie. It's just cool. Though it says, as per usual, the final action sequence goes on way too long, and it's another fucking airplane. I haven't mentioned this, but there's been a lot of finales on airplanes or while an airplane's taking off. It just gets very old. And like, I know you've made 25 movies, but like, it can't be that hard to think of new cool final confrontations. The next movie has one. License to Kill, another one of my favorites. All of my favorite movies in this marathon are not very James Bondy. License to Kill is a movie where James Bond and his CIA buddy, Jack Wade, are at Jack Wade's... Wait, no, not Jack Wade. What's his name? Felix Walker or something. Felix. Felix Leiter. Felix Walken is a Bacchino character. He's with Felix, and it's Felix's wedding, and Bond is like, Felix, why does your actor change every movie? And he goes, ah, forget about it, enjoy the wedding. And then they arrest some dudes from a cartel, like a big Colombian drug lord. And that guy murders Felix's wife and almost kills Felix and has a shark eat his legs. And Bond is so mad about this that he's like, I'm going to go kill that guy. I'm going to go ruin his empire. And M is like, don't you do it, 007. We'll revoke your license to kill. That's the title of the movie. And he goes, fuck you. And he escapes. And it is just a movie about James Bond traveling down south by himself and just... It's a revenge movie, and it is just him ruining this dude's drug empire, and it's very satisfying. I'm a big fan of karmic justice, so, like, this really resonates with me, but I love a good revenge flick. It's fun. Solid motivation. And the way Bond fucks this guy over are just delightful to watch. And this is the first movie where I was like, that wasn't too long. We're on movie, like, 18 of 25, by the way. And I was like, this one used every minute of it. I thought it was paced well. And the final action sequence is a long, dusty road through some mountains with like a whole cartel of drug lord armed trucks and then just Bond jumping from one to another and murdering everyone. It's so fun. Big fan of it. GoldenEye. GoldenEye sucks, dude. The idea of having an evil 00 agent is so fun, and they just botch it. Pierce Brosnan is James Bond now. I don't like him ever as James Bond. This is easily his worst performance. He just has this weird, smug smile on his face the whole time for no reason. Not a good secret agent. There's some cool side characters. Jack Wade and Valentine are really fun. And Valentine, and actually, I think both of them show up at least one more time, which is great. Now, Jack Wade's actor is a villain in another movie, but Valentine shows up again. Yeah, it just says here, the rest of this movie is stupid, so I'm going to believe myself. The video game's pretty fun. I played that recently, but yeah, GoldenEye, not a great film. Unfortunately, Tomorrow Never Dies is next, and the Pierce Brosnan movies kind of just go in descending order of quality for the most part. Tomorrow Never Dies is about Steve Jobs, who is in this universe. I don't know what his name is, but I'm going to call him Steve Jobs. And old Steve is in charge of the first network television news, which didn't exist back in the 80s, 90s. Don't know when they made this. And he's like, if I keep making the news, then I will have broadcast rights and get lots of money. So he's like, warmongering and bombing places secretly, and then he's like, yes, and we'll be the ones to report about it. The way I describe this is an episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or DuckTales or some Saturday morning cartoon stuffed into a Bond movie. Nothing anyone does ever makes sense. And that is true. The villain will go, like, accompany his minions on things that have, like, he doesn't need to be there for, that have, like, could easily be done by some other dude pulling a trigger, but he's such a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles villain that he's like, I must be here on the nuclear submarine. It's like, why? Why do you want to be there? Wouldn't it be much better for you to be anywhere else or in one of your mega mansions drinking a hot mug of money? But no, Bond's actions are weird and make no sense. The Bond girl's actions make no sense. The bad guy is a lunatic and not in a fun way. Wouldn't recommend it. The world is not an... Oh, though I will say, props to them for predicting the power of mass media and how if somebody owns a news corporation, they can shape millions of people's views. Vote for Joe Biden this year in the American elections. And not the other guy. Next. The world is not enough. Okay. I literally watched this movie an hour ago and barely remember any of it. So The World is Not Enough is about James Bond trying to help this woman who, she is like the inheritor of a big oil pipeline. And it's going to be like the big oil pipeline, like the one place that will be shipping oil from Eurasia to the Middle East or something. Like, it's a hot item ticket, and everybody wants to buy up shares and shit. And she is being targeted by a crazy guy who kidnapped her and killed her father. And the twist of this movie is that she's actually in love with that guy and is faking being in danger. And their plan is that they're gonna somehow get away with making, I don't know, kidnapping M, who is, I don't think I ever said this, that's like Bond's boss, and getting revenge on her, because she's a girl in this movie, she's Judi Dench from now on. But like, so here's the trick. The movie starts with James Bond procuring the money to, because at the very beginning, you don't see this, characters just talk about it, which is insane to me. So before the movie, Elektra was kidnapped and her dad needed to pay a ransom to free her. And he was like, and M was like, don't do it just yet. We've got a guy getting your money and he can get her out. And he hesitated, and that like pissed Elektra off so much that she was just like, fuck my father. And literally, fuck this bad guy. We are in love now. And then they conspired to kill her father for reasons I still don't understand. Except the start of the movie was Bond procuring the funds for this interaction. So she wasn't abandoned by her dad. And we didn't see any of this kidnapping. You have to piece it together from people talking about it. And you can't do this kidnapping twist if you never even had the kidnapping on screen. It's just like a baffling way. It's like an end media res story, but the media they are skipping is like the most important plot point. It's so baffling. 3 out of 10. Is that my pick for the worst one? No, but it's pretty close. That is the second to worst one, according to me. Die Another Day. Die Another Day is so stupid and so cartoony that it kind of gets fun again. There's a space laser across a glacier. Bond like surfboards away from it. Halle Berry is like, I don't remember if she's like a minion or another agent, and she just cannot act to save her life. The plot of part of this movie is based around facial reconstruction, and it opens up with Bond in North Korea, and he damages and maybe kills these two dudes who are about to they're South Korean people who are about to like defect to North Korea and start a war. But like Bond gets captured by one of the Koreas and is tortured for months and doesn't give up any information or something. And they eventually get him out and he comes back and he's super jaded, which is funny because this movie is a cartoon. And then it turns out that the two people Bond thought he killed weren't really killed, and one of them got this magic facial reconstruction surgery. And I quote, if you take, it's revolutionary new science, if you take the DNA from one person and inject it into the bone marrow of another person, they slowly start to resemble that first person, which is hilarious. It's like a 6-year-old made up a science based on how many words he'd heard. It's great. It's terrible. There's an ice castle. It's so dumb. I non-ironically like both of the bad guys in this movie. But it is very silly. I will not call this movie good. It has the worst opening, too. Die Another Day's opening sucks. Casino Royale. This is a couple years later. They were like, all right, that was very silly bullshit that we did with Die Another Day. Daniel Craig, you are now a serious sociopathic James Bond who no one in their right mind could like. And he's like, all right, I hate this role, but I'll do it. The cinematography in all of the Daniel Craig movies is like remarkably good to me, especially Skyfall. I think Skyfall is actually one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen in a theater. And I know that's not something people say about it a lot, but I thought it was very pretty. Casino Royale is also very pretty. Mads Mikkelsen is an okay villain. The problem with Casino Royale is it's very like, I'm going to call this an HBO problem. It's a very adult movie. It's very serious. And sometimes when movies do that, they think it's not very important for people to enunciate because in real life, people talk kind of
normally, and it's hard to understand them sometimes. So when there's a bunch of information being flung back and forth, you kind of miss it because nobody is articulating. So watch this movie with captions on. Also, all of the James Bond movies are improperly sound mixed, in my opinion. I am not an expert on that, but all of the dialogue is hella quiet, and all of the sound effects and music are so fucking loud. I streamed these to some friends on Netflix after buying them. Or not Netflix, I bought most of them on YouTube, and then we just watched. And it was so tricky to do the sound balancing. It was very, very bad. And it was they were on Netflix for a while, too, and they were bad there, too. So I think they're just improperly mixed. Oops. But yeah, this movie, I can, like, it's the first time in a long time I've been like, all right, this James Bond is a creep, but he is charming. And the Bond girl can kind of match wits, and they sort of actually fall in love. The weird thing about this movie is where a typical Bond movie would end is, like, the 60 or 70% mark of Casino Royale. The bad guy is defeated. He's defeated by another bad guy off screen. And Bond is set free, but then it's like the Bond girl was secretly working for this larger organization. Like they're trying to take down Mads Mikkelsen basically because he's like a stockbroker for a bunch of secret supervillains, and he uses their money to gamble, and they make it so he loses and they get all that money, which means he's going to be assassinated. So they were going to try and capture him and get him to spill information about the supervillains, but the supervillains kill him. And it turns out that Vesper also works for the supervillains. And the last, like, quarter of the movie is Bond trying to, like, figure out what she's doing and her dying and then him being really affected by it. It's very weird on a first watch. I remember watching this movie the first time and I did not like that. But the second time I watched it knowing that was coming, it was a pretty good time. So I like Casino Royale. It's not bad. It also has a really good opening. It's got one of the best James Bond openings, both visually and audio wise. Quantum of Solace. This is my least favorite Bond movie, because this movie, a lot of the Bond movies are just bad, but this movie had the potential to be good and wasn't. And that's because it's still shot beautifully, but I have never seen a worse edited movie from a professional studio in my life. And it was so bad, I looked into it. I was like, who are these editors? Why was it like this? And I hope to God they are blacklisted now. Horrible work. And no, they've done good work and they still are working. But apparently, they barely had a script for this movie. Like, it just wasn't done. They had, like, the beginning where Bond was like, I'm gonna go after these guys because I want to kill them or something. And because they killed my wife, maybe. And then at the end, it's just like, I've avenged my wife. And they had those two bullet points. And then in the middle was a big fucking question mark. So every action scene literally looks like the editors threw a bunch of B-roll into a blender just to buy more time. And it's almost impossible to follow. It physically hurts to watch. It is a bad movie. The villain sucks. The Bond girl is weird and bad. Also, she's very orange. It's like they painted her skin and dyed her hair orange. It's like inexplicable. I really hate Quantum of Solace. Like, I can't think of a movie with worse professional editing offhand. It's just, ugh, it's so bad. Skyfall, 9 out of 10. I think Skyfall is the best James Bond movie. It is one of the least James Bond movies, but is the only one where the main character, like, all of the main characters are reasonable people who have wants and desires. It has a theme about, like, the new generation overtaking the old one and, like, passing the torch. And, like, sometimes old things are better than the new versions and sometimes they're not. And it's about Javier Bardem, who plays my favorite Bond villain, Raul Silva, who is an ex agent who M thought died because M basically left him to die, and his face got melted off. So he was just like, I'm gonna be a supervillain and maybe recruit Bond to my side or maybe not. I really just want to kill M. And he just wants to kill M. That's all he wants to do. And I like that. It's a nice, small, solid goal.
He gives such a good performance. It is shot beautifully. The music is good. The visuals are good. The Bond girl is Moneypenny, which is cool. They have a new Q who is hot as hell. I shouldn't fret. Who I think is hot as hell because he's the kind of bookish twink that I'm into. But he is a really fun character. Q's been gone for a couple movies and I missed him being like, fuck you, 007. And I like this new flavor of Diet Q. It's interesting. It's interesting, he said, fully erect. But Bond has a cool dynamic with the villain. I just like this movie. I really like Skyfall. I've seen Skyfall like 4 times and I've loved it every single time. I would recommend it. I think it's a great film. It's not very Bond movie. If someone's like, oh, I love James Bond, they might not like Skyfall because it's like a real movie and it's good instead of being a silly cartoon. Spectre. Spectre starts pretty cool. Spectre is about the secret villain organization Spectre, who killed Bond's wife and has been apparently behind everything these past couple movies. And their leader, who is like the king of all supervillains. He's the Moriarty of this world. He's a criminal. He's amazing. But that all kind of falls apart when you meet him and he's just like, hello, well done, James. I am Ernst Slavo Blofeld. Don't you remember, James? After your parents died, you came to live with me and my father in the skiing place for a winter. And I was so mad that my father liked you a little more than me, I think, for like 3 months, that I decided to murder my father, fake my own death, and spend the rest of my life becoming the fucking Napoleon of crime, making this huge organization all to spite you. And Bond is just like, have we ever mentioned this in any of the other movies? No, because I'm making it up and I'm crazy. And he's just terrible. He's just a horrendous villain. Like, the actor does an okay job. He just doesn't have a fucking script to work with. And the whole movie is based on the rivalry between those two characters, and it does not work. It's just bad. But unlike Quantum of Solace, this movie is shot well and edited pretty well. So that's good. My favorite part of Spectre is that it'll be like, look, James, I am the architect of all your misfortune. I am the one who set up Mads Mikkelsen's death. I am the one who set Raul Silva upon you. What about the villain from Quantum of Solace? We don't talk about that one. Don't bring it up. And they just pretend Quantum of Solace didn't happen, which is so fucking funny. So, yeah, if you're gonna watch a Bond movie and you want a good time, my top three are Skyfall is my favorite, License to Kill and Casino Royale. I really like those. Would also recommend Diamonds Are Forever. If you want a good movie, a good spy movie. If you want a good spy movie, I would say spy movie. Living Daylights is a good spy movie. Casino Royale is a good spy movie. It's got a weird second half, but if you know it's coming, it softens the blow. Those are really good. If you want a great film, Skyfall. And if you want a good James Bond movie, then watch Diamonds Are Forever, because that one's a lot of fun. The bottom three is A View to a Kill, which is the stupid Christopher Walken one, where he's insane. The World Is Not Enough, which is the... Wow, I ranked that lower? That's surprising. Which is the stupid Steve Jobs Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday morning cartoon news villain one, which is really bad. And Quantum of Solace. I don't know why you'd ever watch Quantum of Solace. It's really bad. Okay. I hope you found this entertaining. Maybe I'll make this a video one day. Probably not, though. Happy quarantine!